So we come together today to wrap up this series on worship, and we've talked about raising our hands to God in worship a few weeks ago, and then a couple weeks ago we talked about bringing our gifts to God as a form of worship and not just what some pastor tells us we have to do. Last week we talked about our need to pour out our heart to God and just really give these things to God. Well, today we're going to talk about bowing or kneeling as a way to surrender to Jesus and to give our lives in worship to Christ and God. And I wanted to kind of go back to some scripture that we looked at a couple weeks ago when we talked about bringing our gifts to God. And maybe it's because we still have this heat and humidity. I keep going to Christmas time, but we look at this scripture that's found in Matthew 2, verses 10 and 11. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They bowed down to this child. And I've, as I've said before, this is not baby Jesus that we always see in the Christmas story stuff and the cards and stuff like that. It's not really that. Jesus was probably about 2 years old, and these wise men traveled about 900 miles. And how many of you have had a two-year-old child? Or have been around a two-year-old child in public? These wise men were bowing to a two-year-old child. Now, if your children were like mine, and you understand that as parents, sometimes we do have to give in to their need because they'll bang on the table till the whole restaurant knows that they're there. Or, you know, have you ever had a child throw food at a perfect stranger in a restaurant because they're not getting their way? This is what these wise men are bowing to. This two-year-old that's going, me, 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 give me, give me, give me, I want, I want, I want, I want candy, and I want a pony. And sometimes we cater to those things. Some of you have had a two-year-old say, I want a kitty cat, and you gave them that. How, shame on you. But they wear us down. Yes, my kids have had cats, and you all know how I feel about cats. And Tanya's not here today because I was going to say cats can be a good thing, and she would like that, but I don't have to say that now. Two-year-old, stained, remember the clothes, the stains, because they can't keep their food in their mouth, and it just runs down, toothless, little tiny crazy things. The wise men came in to bow down, to kneel down. To this, remember a two-year-old when you'd be sitting there in a room with them having a conversation, teaching them how the world was going to be like, and you're sharing your wisdom, and they get this glisten in their eye, and pretty soon you look at them and say, are you doing a poopy? And then these things lie to you and say, no! So the wise men kneeled before this two-year-old Savior. This Savior that the world has been praying for. God come down in the form of man. Now, the wise men were men. And I've kind of looked into it. I've researched it. Two times, I think, that men kneel. When we're athletes, we kneel for that picture. And some of you, at one point, looked at your wife and you kneeled down and asked their hand in marriage. We men have wisdom there. We kneel when we have to. You women, open a yearbook. Even if you were an athlete, you didn't kneel. I mean, all these women in those pictures are kind of, they don't kneel down. They didn't even know to do that. But these wise men knew to kneel down to this two-year-old child. Because this wasn't just any two-year-old. They bowed down their lives before this child. And they knew that they had this opportunity to be in God's presence through this child. They knew that this was not just another child. See, I think the reality is God gives us all kinds of opportunities to kneel down before Him. All kinds of opportunities if we just don't see what the world sees, but we see that God is in this world. And throughout the Bible, there's like 170 times that they talk about this. Here's a couple of them that we're going to look at today. We're going to start with Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the sheep of His hand. They said the Hebrew word is shaka. Now, Zach, that's not to be confused with a movie from the 80s that Ace Ventura said, shakaka. If you don't understand that reference, Zach is here today. Praise God, he got a day off to come to church, and he was excited to come here. Ask him what shakaka is, and it's his favorite movie. But that's not what it is, although this movie did get the reference from that, because shaka actually means to bow down, to fall flat in worship. I mean, we sometimes bow, and that's as far as we get. And if you have a knee that wasn't a God-given knee, that's kind of all you can do, because don't get down on that knee, because you might not get back up. Or if you have a knee that might need to be replaced, don't get down on the, don't get down on that. I mean, but bow as we pray. Bow as we come draw near to God. We bow because it's just ingrained in us since we were two that's the right thing to do. Because we have this holy God that we need to just silence ourselves, quiet ourselves, darken our lives so that His light can shine through to us. And it's throughout the Bible. Moses hid his face from God. Remember the stories in Exodus that the Lord was before him? It was either in smoke or fire and a burning bush. I mean, all these different things. But Moses even had to hide his face from God, and others couldn't see that. Later in the Old Testament, it talks about these high priests, these men that were chosen as godly individuals, and they'd go into the temple, and they'd go in there to do their tasks, but there was such great reverence, such great fear of the Lord, that their friends would tie a rope around their leg, because if they heard a thud and there was no more movement on that rope, they could pull that rope back out to get the high priest out of there, because they knew that God's presence was so powerful that you just couldn't handle it, couldn't see it, couldn't be a part of that, because we're just simple human beings. And so there's this reverence that God is so holy that we can't look at Him. So that's kind of why we bow. We fold our hands, we close our eyes, we lower our heads. Because as we're pouring out our hearts and our lives, we can't look. We can't see, because we know too much about ourselves, and we know that God is so good, and so we bow before Him just because it seems right. God never tells us anywhere in the Bible to bow down to Him. Look, if you don't take my word for it, go through this book, look for it. God tells us not to bow down to other gods. God tells us not to kneel before other idols. He tells us to not do those things. But He never says, bow down to me. But yet it feels so natural in our hearts. It's just ingrained in us. So I'm going to ask you today to bow down, to kneel to God. And I'm going to give you some help in doing that today if you want to take some notes. So when we kneel before Him, the first thing is kneel in pursuit of Him. There's a story in the New Testament about this guy that he had a lot. I mean, he had money, he had a job, he had a house, he had family, friends, he had all this stuff. And he knew, this guy knew that he was missing something, and Mark records it in chapter 10, verse 17. As Jesus started on His way, that this man ran up to Him and fell on his knees before Him. He said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" This guy had so much, but he knew that there was something more. So he goes running after it, running to chase down what he felt, running to chase down what he knew he needed, coming into Christ's presence, and he fell down. I take that as a literal running, see Jesus, you've poured everything out running to get there. And like the Olympic athletes, they crossed that finish line. They got to the finish line of in front of Jesus, and everything was gone, and he fell down. And he asked, what do I need to do? See, when life gives us more than we can handle, more than we can stand, we kneel in God's presence. We draw near to God because we know that God will draw near to us. And we'll get through these things. And God's right there, and we got to pursue a relationship with him, because if all we do is keep giving him our prayers, we're just never going to stop giving our prayers and asking God to take care of these things. But if we pursue a relationship, then we're changed by God's grace and love in our lives. The next thing we need to do as we kneel before him is we need to kneel in repentance. Carrying around the weight of sin holds us down. It holds us back. We are all sinful. We've all done wrong to others, to ourselves, to God. We've done these things. Some of you are smiling on the outside, but you're carrying around this heavy, heavy heart. You're grieving something inside. Maybe you've hurt somebody. Maybe somebody's hurt you. Maybe you just don't like somebody in a bad way. And maybe there's just this weight of sin holding you back from the life that God wants you to have. And as we're trying to carry that sin, that problem, that hurt, that storm, that struggle, it's holding us back. And we need to bow down and ask God to forgive us. We need to bow down and ask God to move us past this, truly, truly giving it over to Christ in prayer. Now, there's this story, and I don't really know what to take of it, because to me it just seems so strange. The disciples, mainly Peter and some of the others, they're in this boat. You know, they're fishermen, so they're in this boat. I don't know how big their boat was. I picture a rowboat, probably a wide rowboat, because they're throwing their nets over to one side, and they're fishing all day. They got their nets in the water, and I mean, these are professional fishermen. They know where to do this. They know where the fish generally are, and they pull the nets back, and there's nothing, and they throw them back over, and let them do their thing, and they pull them back, and there's nothing, and after all day of this, they've had enough. They just can't go on. They can't take another dragging in an empty net. And Jesus says to them, and I don't understand this, throw them on the other side. Now my picture of this boat this wide, what does Jesus think? All the fishies are on the one side of the boat going, these fools, they keep going over there, we're going to hide here. And fish don't do that. Throw it on the other side of the net, throw it on the other side of the boat, it's that simple? Is it really that simple for us? Yes, it is. When we repent to Christ, we're forgiven. It's that simple for us that we just throw our nets on the other side. This other side, these fishermen saw the other side of the boat all day long. Professional guys, why didn't they clue into, hey, we keep throwing it over here and nothing comes up? How about we do this? But they couldn't do it on their own. And so they drew near to God through this story in Luke 5, verse 8. When Simon Peter realized what happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm such a sinful man." He fell on his knees and he repented. He fell on his knees knowing the sins of his heart, his life. He fell on his knees thinking that he wasn't good enough. The truth is, Jesus never turns away a sinner when that sinner has a repentant heart. Peter was not a good guy. Peter had a lot of struggles in his life, a lot of failures by human standards, probably even failures in God's standards. But Jesus came and offered him a relationship. And that relationship would build a hope and a trust. And that hope and a trust would give us so many words in this book that if we allow it to, we're guided in that very same way. Maybe what we need to do is take our nets and stop casting them on one side of our life. And start casting them before the Lord on the other side. Maybe we need to confess our sins and truly kneel down in repentance. Because God is faithful and God is just and God will forgive all sins. He forgave the sins of a fisherman. He forgave the sins of a builder. He forgave the sins of everybody that repents. And Peter left everything. He left everything that he knew to follow Christ. So kneeling before Christ empowers you to stand. It empowers you to walk forward and move in the direction that we're being called to be in. And the next thing is when we kneel before him, we need to kneel in submission. How many of you have wrestled with your little kids? I loved wrestling with my little kids. I could beat them every time, put them in submission. I still can, Zach. I used to love wrestling because you ever watch like the Ultimate Fighting stuff, and you know they get them in a chokehold or a thing, and they tap out. I made my kids tap out every time, and the tap out was "Daddy's the greatest." You ever make them say that? "Daddy's the greatest." Oh, that was so great. Even at 17, I can make him say "Daddy's the greatest," because he knows that if he doesn't say "Daddy's the greatest" and he holds out too long, I can make him pee every time. And his girlfriend's here and he's hating this story. And he will not say it, though. I can get him in a hold he can't get out of. And he'll say, "Mommy's the greatest." He'll say, "Grandma's the greatest." He'll say every name in this church is the greatest, but he will not say "Daddy's the greatest." And some of us are that way, aren't we? We won't tap out. We won't say, "Lord, you're the greatest." We won't say, "God, I've failed. I'm beaten. I'm lost. I'm hurt. I can't." Sometimes we need to tap out. We need to submit our lives before the Lord. We need to surrender to this plan that God has that makes us all great people. One of the struggles that I have is being called a Christian because I know myself too much. I need to tap out. Because people don't know that about me sometimes. All they see is that I'm a pastor. I'm a child of God. I've repented my sins. I've been forgiven. And I submit to his will. That's not an American cultural thing at all. And really shame on us for this. Other cultures, that's the norm. They kneel before God. They kneel before things. They kneel before people. You're in most European countries, they have this curtsy before royalty. They kneel to royalty. Maybe Kenny knows a lot more about this than I do, but in Japan, they bow. They bow before people in respect. And the problem that so many of us have in this conflict thing that's going on in the world, I mean, we look at the Muslims, and sometimes we have hate in our heart for that, and shame on us for that, but They do something that we ought to be doing. They carry around a prayer mat. They kneel every day before their God. And we ought to learn to kneel and bow down in reverence because our God is the one true God. Our God created every single person on this planet. Our God gives us everything that we need. Our God forgives us of our sins. Our God wants us to pursue him. Our God wants to give us grace and love and an eternal home. Our God is so good that we ought to fall down before him. Maybe we just need to tap out before we're too lost. So God never said that we had to do this. But remember Jesus, his son? Remember that name of Jesus is what makes the difference between us and so many other religions in the world? Remember the Son of God who came as that two-year-old to be bowed down to. And he grew up as a teenage boy and he kept learning, and he kept teaching, and he kept giving, and he kept offering, and he kept doing this plan that God had. He taught us how to live. He taught us how to love. He taught us that there's grace that forgives our sins. He taught us to repent and ask for forgiveness, and we'll receive it. He taught us that there's this awesome heaven that has so many rooms in it that there's room for you and I. He taught us these things. Look at Luke 22 a minute. Then Jesus withdrew from them about a stone's throw away, knelt down, and prayed. Jesus himself knelt down. If Jesus is doing it, we should. If Jesus is doing it, then I know that I need to be like Jesus and pray. Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me. God, I know the plan. I know what's going to happen. I don't know that I want to be beaten like this. I don't know that I want to go on this cross. All these questions. Is it really the time? These people, even the disciples, keep backpedaling. Is it really enough that I've been here only this long? All these things pouring out. Remove this cup from me. But then the prayer that we all need to say, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but your will. Not what I want, but your perfect will, your perfect love. Some of us need to pray that today. Not my will. So as we're kneeling to pray, we realize that sometimes that's what gives us the strength to stand. I want to share a little secret with you, and I really do believe this. Our world's not falling apart. I know a lot of the pains and struggles that you're going through. Your world is not falling apart. It's falling into place. Because where you're at is a place that God is there. And as you kneel before him, he's there. And he's such a good God that he's going to get you through whatever's going on in your life. He's such a good God that he's drawing you near. Even though it seems like we stumble and fall, maybe he's just knocking us down so that we kneel before him and give him the storm, give him the struggle. And here's the truth that I know in this. God never said to kneel down before me. But in Philippians 2, it says you can either do it now or you can do it later. Starting in verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus humbled himself. If Jesus is humbling himself, I better humble myself. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Folks, I truly believe that God created every single person that's ever taken breath on this planet. That covers it all. Every knee should bow. Every knee in heaven. Every knee on earth. Every knee in hell. So God never told us we have to do this. But if everybody's got to do it, everybody's going to do it, then maybe right now we need to join them and have every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Our God never said we have to bow before him, but he sure knew we would. He knows that that's where we get the strength to stand. He knows where that's where we find the road to follow. Just as he held you as you fall on your knees in praise. I want to share some words from a song that has been so dear to me the last couple of years. The name of the song is Just Beheld. It's a Casting Crowns song if you want to listen to it. These are the words I want to share. Hold it all together. Everybody needs you strong. But life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And when you're tired of fighting, chained by your control, there's freedom in surrender. Lay it down and let it go. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. If your eyes are on the storm, you'll wonder if I love you still. But if your eyes are on the cross, you'll know I always have and always will. And a tear is wasted, and not a tear is wasted. In time you'll understand. I'm painting beauty from the ashes. Your life is in my hands. So when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone. Stop holding on and just be held. Your world's not falling apart. It's falling into place. I'm on the throne. Stop holding on and just be held. Just be held. Just be held. Lift your hands. Lift your eyes. And the storm is where you'll find me. And where you are, I'll hold your heart. I'll hold your heart. Come to me. Find rest in the arms of the God who won't let go. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we bow down before you, get on our knees if we're able. We lower our hearts, quiet our lives, turning them over to you, knowing that it is good. We're pursuing this relationship with you. We're asking you to forgive us and draw us near. Guide us and strengthen us. God, we want this deeper relationship with you, this deeper commitment in our hearts and our lives. And sometimes we hold ourselves back. Sometimes we hold ourselves back, but you never hold yourself back. Your love is always strong. Your love is always sufficient. In the midst of what's going on in our lives, we bow our heads to you, falling in front of you, because we know that we need you and all that you encompass in our lives. So as we kneel before you now, God, I just pray that you take our lives, take our souls, take our hearts, take our wills. We give them all to you. I ask you to take whatever storms we're going through, the hurts, the loss, the suffering, the problems of our lives. We turn them over to you because you are the answer. I pray that your love comes into us and just knocks out the bad and fills us with good. I pray that we leave here knowing that we're forgiven and we're changed, and we go out living for you in new ways. I pray that we all recommit our lives today, tomorrow, whenever it's right. Our prayer, each and every one of us here, each and every person that calls himself a Christian around the world today, we pray that your will be done. Your will be done. And it's through Christ's name we pray. Amen.